Before we begin our Torah study, would you pray with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. There was something about this week that involved me taking a lot of things back to stores. And I had to return some cut watermelon that turned out to be slimy. Don't you hate that? And I didn't have a receipt, but I went back and they cheerfully refunded my money. I did have to spend it at the store, but I got it back. And I also had the need to return three containers of muhammara. How many of you have ever had muhammara? None of you. Have you ever had hummus or hummus? Okay. Muhammara is similar. It's a Middle Eastern tasty dish, and it's made with roasted peppers and walnuts and some delicious seasoning, and they're all blended together. It becomes a delicious spread, and my wife makes the best muhammara that I've ever had, better than Middle Eastern natives. But second best is Trader Joe's, believe it or not. However, we got some Trader Joe's muhammara, and there was something wrong with the seal, and every one of them spoiled and molded, so I had to take them back. And then I was remembering a time we were in France and we bought something electronic and we had to take it back. It was like the wrong thing. And it was like we were asking them to do something that's unthinkable, give our money back. And then I was remembering being in Budapest where it really was unthinkable. If you bought something, it's yours forever. And so even electronic stores had policies, despite their warranties, that you would check it, check the item before you left the store. And if it was okay and you wanted to bring it back later, guess what? You're out of luck. So for some reason, all of this was on my mind because this week and this Shabbat Shuvah, the Shabbat of return. And I was thinking about returns. And it made me think about the Lord's return policy. His policy is actually made pretty clear, as we'll read today. I'd put it this way. If you discover any defect in yourself, return yourself to the manufacturer, and he will help you. So the word that the Lord is trying to communicate to us on this Shabbat is be prepared to return to him. Be prepared to bring yourself back to him. During the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we read a Haftorah selection from Hosea 14, and it begins with these words, "Return, Israel, to the Lord your God, because your guilt has made you stumble." Your defects, your guilt, has created a problem for you. The Lord is being really clear. He's got a generous return policy. He wants everybody who needs to return to return. He wants everyone who stumbled because of guilt to get up and to return to him. So that tells us what his motivation is. We could put it in a few simple words. I want you back. The Lord looks at Israel and sees that many need to come back. They've gone away from the Lord. They've gone in a lot of different directions, and people have different reasons. But each of us is to listen to these words from Hosea so that we can consider where we ourselves have gone away from the Lord and for what reason, so that we can be restored to God. We can be reconciled to him. We can be reconnected to him. And he rejoices when we return to him. We remember today, this weekend, that God rejoices when sinners who have strayed away from God return to him. Now, it's important to know what kind of sinner you are, because we are getting ready for Yom Kippur. We're going to go through a laundry list of sins, and you will discover some sins that you hadn't even thought you were committing. Every one of us will find that we're guilty of some things. Now, there are two categories of sin that I want to focus on. One is what I would call the sin of rebellion against God, where we just turn our back on Him and we live independent lives. We make ourselves the ultimate authority. We do what we think is right. We go the way we think. We become the ones who define what is good and what is not good. And we act like we can save ourselves. That sin of rebellion requires a very specific kind of repentance where we humble ourselves and we come back to God and we confess that we have separated ourselves from Him and we have not accepted His authority, His sovereignty, His government in our own life. And that requires a very deep repentance, and we have to understand that sin, that kind of independent rebellion against God, is a capital offense in the kingdom of God. And so we need an atonement that will cover the penalty that's due us. It would cost us our lives if we were to be brought on trial before God and He were to say, are you a traitor or are you faithful to me? And if the truth were, we were traitors because we just do whatever we want. We're a law to ourselves and we disregard Him. That's a capital offense. And so what can be the atonement for that kind of offense? It is the very life of Yeshua. The reason God came down from heaven, the reason He took on human flesh, was to become the perfect atonement for you and for me, for the whole world, providing atonement for this great sin of rebellion. If you have not repented of that great sin and become a dedicated follower of the Lord, then the next category of sins will be much less important, because if you don't deal with the first one, the big one, trying to fix the littler ones will become impossible. Now, the littler sins can still be serious sins. Jewish law says there are 613 commandments. And if we understand the teachings of Yeshua, every one of us is guilty of breaking some of those commandments or not keeping the positive ones. Every one of us falls short. And even though we acknowledge that we fall short, and even though we don't necessarily want to sin, we do find ourselves sinning, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes because of a lack of power in our own lives. We don't have the strength. We sometimes for a lack of knowledge. We don't know what's right and what's wrong. There are a lot of different reasons. Sometimes we become discouraged. We lose hope. We lose that positive sense about our own future, and we feel like we're just victims of the power of sin over us. But I can tell you this. If you put your trust in Yeshua, you're not that kind of victim. God can deliver you and can bring you out of even the most entrenched difficulties that you may face. At Yom Kippur and at other times of the year, we examine ourselves, those of us who are disciples of the Lord, and we pay attention to what do we need to clean up today? What do we need to fix today? And in the same way that you want to bathe regularly, you want to come clean with God regularly. Now, if you think a bath once a year is good enough for you, I think the people around you could say otherwise. In the spiritual sense, we want to be clean with God how regularly? All the time. So we want to be quick to recognize sin. We want to be thorough in dealing with it. We want to face it. And the reason is we really want to be sincere in walking as faithful disciples of the Lord. The word for faith in Hebrew, emunah, is really a word that in English requires the translation faithful. It's not just having abstract or doctrinal or theological or religious faith. It's being faithful to God himself. So we have faith. We have trust in him. We reveal that by living faithfully with him. And if we are not faithful to him, we can't really say honestly that we are people of faith. So faith and faithfulness go together, and because of that, we discover that there are times when we're not fully walking in the measure that God has for us. His word to us is this: when you discover a defect in yourself, bring yourself to God, your Creator. Hurry. Don't be slow. Because God rejoices, heaven rejoices, the angels rejoice when those of us who are sinning repent and turn to him. Hosea 14, verse 1 says, "Return, Israel, to the Lord your God, because your guilt has made you stumble." And then it gives us some practical, very concrete directions. It says this, verse 2, "Take words with you." Isn't that a funny way of saying it? Come prepared to say something to God. "And return to Adonai and say to him, 'Forgive all my guilt, accept what is good. We will pay instead of with bulls as a sacrifice the offerings of our lips.'" In other words, what we are going to bring to you today, God, in our repentance is not the blood of living animals, of bulls, but it is the sacrifices of our own lips, the confession of our sin, the repentance, and as well, that trust in Yeshua and his atoning sacrifice. We're not coming empty-handed. We're coming not with our own sacrifice, but with his sacrifice. "Assyria won't save us, will not ride on horses, will no longer call what we made with our hands our gods." You know, very few people are worshiping idols in the Western world. In other parts of the world, they are. But you know what we do worship that is the work of our hands? It's our own means of provision. It's our own skills, our talents, our abilities, the strengths that we have. And we are so often tempted to believe that we can get ourselves out of the mess that we are in. And actually, we need God's help. We do need to cooperate. But we need to come back to him. "It is only in you that the fatherless can find mercy. I will heal their disloyalty. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned from him." Verse 4 is a change of voice. Who's talking now? It's the Lord. The Lord's response when we come before him. You see, the scripture teaches us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So the Lord says, "I will heal their disloyalty." If you think of your sin as an act of disloyalty, it will really open things up. And then the Lord says this, "I will love them freely because my anger is turned from him." You see, the Lord has a generous return policy. He's ready to receive us when we come back with sincerity and with faith, with trust, knowing we need mercy, honestly dealing with our sin. Then verse 9, "Let the wise understand these things, let the discerning know them, for the ways of the Lord are straight, and the righteous walk in them, but in them sinners stumble." Now I love the prophetic word in Hosea 12, just two chapters before, Hosea 12, verse 6, it says this, "You must return to your God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always." One of the things that gets believers in trouble is that we don't wait for God. We want to do things our way on our timetable, and we think that the end that is important to us justifies the means. But we have to learn to wait for God, to wait on His time, to wait for His ways, to trust Him. And that requires that we maintain love and that we also seek justice, tzedakah, righteousness, justice, and charity. So this covenant that God has called us to is a covenant of love. It's a covenant of justice. And God has His ways, and He has His timetable. Now, I want to talk to you about why repentance is so important to the Lord. God has plans for us. He has a hope and a future for us. He wants to use us for good things that require we be in right relationship with Him. So sometimes at Yom Kippur and in the days of awe, we're looking backward and we're looking at ourselves, we're examining ourselves, we're looking at our past, we're looking at our failures. It's very important and it's very serious, as well as very necessary. But not only do we need to do that, we need to look ahead. We need to see, where do we want to be? Who do we want to become? Who do we want to become in God? How do we want to live our life? Because the Holy Spirit will put in us holy desires for change. He will show us what yet He wants from us, and He is looking for people who will say yes to His desires. Yeshua said, if you abide in me, if my word abides in you, then you can ask for what you do desire, and it will be done for you. And by this abiding, by this asking, and by this receiving, Yeshua says, and in this way, you will bear fruit, and you will bring lasting fruit and joy to the Lord. So the Lord actually likes for us to spend time in thinking about where we're headed, thinking about where we are, examining ourselves now, and then saying, where do you want to be? Imagine if you're on a diet, you're trying to lose 10 pounds. How many can relate to that? One of the scariest things to do is to actually get on the scales, right? And to quantify where you are. And once you do, and you see, I might be actually heavier than I thought. I might need to lose more than the 10 pounds. It's important to set goals that move you in the right direction. Is that correct? And so if you're 10 pounds heavy, you don't say to yourself, but here's my goal that I'd be 20 pounds heavier. No, you always set a goal that represents improvement. Right? And progress. In the same way with God, when you examine yourself, it's not God's plan that you just feel bad for what you see. Because He doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to keep going with Him. One of the whole purposes of examining ourselves is to discover what's gotten a hold of us that we need to get free from. And we understand that by where we're trying to go. The Lord is looking for us to abide in Him so that our desires can be shaped by the life that we have with God, that we would yearn for, that we would desire what He wants for us. And Yeshua is teaching us a secret. There's power that comes to you. There's grace that comes to you when you spend time with the Lord, when you learn His word and you discover what He wants for you. And you set your heart on that. You start asking. You start praying. You'll notice that Yeshua is very practical. He says, ask. And one of His teachings is this: keep asking. So it's not enough to ask just one time, though there are occasions when asking once is enough. But we need to learn to keep asking, to keep knocking, to keep pursuing the things that God has put into our heart so that we can actually bear fruit. That's what it means to abide with the Lord. It means to stay close with Him, to stay connected to Him. And this whole message for Shabbat Shuva is that we return to God in order to be connected to Him so that we can live with Him in the future that he wants to create for us. Yeshua, in Luke 24, is speaking to his disciples about some things connected to their future, and he understands that they've had difficulty accepting some of the things that he knew had to happen. Luke 24, verse 44, he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you," meaning before I died and was resurrected, "so that all things which are written about me in the Torah of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms would be brought into fullness." So Yeshua said, "I want to talk to you some more about the things that I talked to you before about, but that you had difficulty accepting." Then he opened their minds to understand the Tanakh. This was a transforming moment in Luke 24, 45. One of the most important things that Yeshua did before he returned to heaven, he opened the minds of his disciples who were there with him so that they could understand the Tanakh. Without that, they could not understand his ministry. They could not understand who was Messiah and what was God wanting to do and how was he wanting to do it. And without that understanding, they each had their own point of view. Some were zealots and they thought we'll have a political or a military solution. Some were Pharisees and they thought, well, if we just keep in the most fastidious way possible the law of God, if we do the very best we can, then that'll be enough. Others had their view. Some were Sadducees who had thought there is no physical resurrection. And now they were having to bring their defective theology into conformity with the reality of Yeshua's resurrection. Some of them were Essenes who had separated from the rest of the Jewish people. He was calling them high and low. Some of them had become collaborators with the Roman government and choosing the good of Rome over the good of the Jewish people. Yeshua understood that a key for all of them was to have new understanding based on reading the Tanakh in a different way. Not in the way that their sectarian groups had read it, but according to his understanding. And so he opened their minds to understand the Tanakh. And then verse 46, he said to them, "Thus it is written." And these are the things that were needed to be opened to them. Messiah would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. That was hard for them to embrace. They didn't believe it was true. They didn't believe it was necessary. Now it was a fact. Here's the next thing, that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name. Wow, that was a message. It was different than the message of John, who brought a message of anticipation. One is coming, listen to him. This was the message of the one who was being anticipated, Yeshua. Repentance for forgiveness of sins, proclaimed in his name. In other words, the clear proclamation that God's forgiveness for our sins is tied to the death, the suffering, the burial, and the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah. Now here's another detail that was hard for them to embrace, that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. Can you understand if you lived in Israel and you were occupied by Roman forces that you might not be interested in proclaiming any good news to the Romans? Could that be understandable to you? Could you understand that if people hated your guts and wanted to destroy you as a nation, that it would not be your natural instinct to want to go and serve such a people and to bring them good news? Well, Yeshua was saying, in my name, you'll go to all those nations and you'll bring this message, regardless regardless of whether you like them or not. The mandate that God was giving his people was a worldwide mandate. It was an international mandate. It was to bring the good news of Messiah to the whole world, because God so loved the Jewish people that he sent his only son. Does that capture it? He did love the Jewish people. He does love the Jewish people. He will love the Jewish people, but that's not the limit of his love. That's a starting point in order to communicate the serious covenant that God calls us into. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. In other words, don't neglect Jerusalem. Don't neglect the heart of Israel. It's in the heart of God. So God, through Yeshua, was communicating to the people how important repentance was, because our repentance is necessary in order for us to bring the good news to other people who need to repent. If we don't repent and we tell other people to repent, it's as if we're trying to get a small thing out of someone else's eye while we've got a log in our own. Am I right? And at Yom Kippur, when we read Isaiah 58, it says, if you'll do away with the pointing of the finger, the accusation of other people and their faults, and you'll examine yourself and humble yourself before God, then the purposes of God's fasting and affliction will be revealed. You see, if we don't repent and we call the whole world to repent, you know how we will be perceived? As hypocrites, religious hypocrites. And we will not reveal the true character and nature of God. We will not be people who show the world the love of God. And we will instead be communicating things that are opposite to the very nature of God. Now, with that in mind, let's turn to Jeremiah 15. Verse 19. This is what the Lord says: if you repent, I will restore you so that you may serve me. Isn't that interesting? Without repentance, we can't actually serve the Lord in the ways that he has in mind. Without our own repentance, we can't be effective as ministers to God. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. So it starts with our own repentance. It moves into our restoration with God, a restoration that's not just you and God, it's you as a servant of God to other people. Because God is looking for everyone who calls on his name to not only be saved from their sin, but to become a useful servant, a useful minister to other people. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. That just shows us something about the nature of influence. When we repent and we are reconciled to God, we can have an impact on other people. If we don't repent and we're trying to do ministry in our own power, you know what? Other people will have a greater impact on us than we will on them. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. If I put these two things together, it leads me to one more statement that Jeremiah made prophetically, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It shows us something that we can become attractive to other nations and other ethnic groups. How many of you are aware that there's ethnic tension in America? How many of you are aware that there's ethnic tension on all the continents of the earth right now? How many of you wake up every morning wondering who's going to be doing something bad to somebody else today? And you might even have the experience I have where you think you had heard it all and then one more thing happens. And you end up saying, you can't make this stuff up. If you were trying to fictionalize a story, it couldn't be as dramatic as the reality of what's going on in these days. Even so, God has a plan. His plan is to draw people to Him and to use His people to draw people to Him. So we are to become attractive to other nations and ethnic groups, not by trying to figure out how to be like them, but by being true to God ourselves. So Jewish people, it's not by assimilating that you become attractive to the nations of the world. It's by being faithful to God as a Jew. And everyone who has ethnic identity, you don't have to give up that ethnic identity, but you have to bring it in service to God. And so if you explain away the weaknesses of your ethnicity and say, well, that's just the way we are, then you're basically saying, well, I don't need to change in that area. And yet all of us need to change in different areas. So God has a plan. We turn to God, and people will turn to us in order to turn to God. And they will listen, they will see, and they will follow our example so that they themselves can be reconciled to God. If our message is too many words and not enough deeds, if it's too much rules and regulations and not enough reality, then our message will not touch the people who really need to be touched. Now let's close with Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1. If you will return, O Israel, declares the Lord, then just move to Israel. That's what many of us think, but that's not what the prophet Jeremiah communicates. In fact, if you read Jeremiah chapter 4, you'll see God says, if you just trust in the mountains of Israel, like if you could just get to the high places of Israel, you'd be safe. The Lord says, no, that won't save you. Only God can save you. So if you return, O Israel, declares the Lord, then you should return to me. What's the Lord's return policy? Number one, return to God. And as Moses teaches us in Deuteronomy 30, if you return to the Lord, even if you're in the farthest place away from Israel, he will take responsibility for bringing you back to the land in his time. If you return, O Israel, declares the Lord, then you should return to me. And if you will put away your detested things from my presence and will not waver, and you will declare as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness then. In other words, you've got to separate yourself from all the things that are detestable to God, even if they're part of popular culture. Even if they're part of popular Jewish culture. If they're detestable, then they're detestable. If you put away your detestable things from my presence, well, that does require then that we have some authoritative guidelines, what's detestable. And believe me, you can't just discover that by asking your friends, because they may be doing the same detestable things you're doing. So the Word of God is the ultimate authority about what's detestable. So we have to discover the Word of God. if you say, as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and righteousness, then. Look at this. This is verse 2. Then the nations will bless themselves in God, and in God they will glory. You see, the turning of the Jewish people back to God is connected to the turning of the nations to God. The return of Jewish people to the God of Israel and to his Messiah actually is directly connected to the return of all people to God. This is one of God's secrets. The nations will bless themselves. You see, the return of the Jewish people touches the nations. Our return to God has to be explained. That's why we have to be clear, and we have to be bold, and we have to go into some detail. What does it mean for us as Jews to put our trust in Yeshua the Messiah? And then what does it mean for us who are not Jews to put our trust in the God of Israel and his Messiah? And to fit all of that together, we need to understand that our return to God is a proclamation of the good news, and it activates the promises that God made to Abraham, that through him, all the families and the nations of the earth would bless themselves in God. Not just in Abraham, but they would bless themselves in God. So there is a kind of evangelism. It's not the normal kind of TV evangelism or event evangelism or American evangelical evangelism. It's a different kind of way of proclaiming the good news. It starts with us. It connects us to our God and to our community. And it connects us to our whole nation, which connects us to the whole world. And when we're clear about this, and when we move forward in this, and we understand that God wants to use us to bring those who are outside of his kingdom into his kingdom, then we can start serving him in more effective ways. If we miss out on some of these details of love and our own need for repentance, we will want other people to turn to God, but they won't turn to God through us. They may turn to God through somebody else, but not through us. So it's a great opportunity. I believe God wants to use you. He wants you to be powerful. He wants you to be effective. He wants you to be instruments of his kingdom, servants of the Lord. Now think again, as we close, think about someone in your life who you would like to see turn to God. And just so that your own ears and God can hear, not so that mine can hear, but so that yours can hear, just say their name to the Lord right now. Just utter their name so that you hear it and God hears it. And then join me. Lord, I want to be useful to you. I want to bring your good news. I want to bring the good news of Yeshua, forgiveness, repentance, faith to my friend, my family, my neighbor, that person who you bring to my mind even now. I want to have the joy, Lord, of serving you by bringing good news to them. And Lord, would you show me how I can do my part and how my own repentance and my life of faith can be useful to them. Lord, I thank you that you've called me to pray. You've called me to serve. You've called me to bring good news to those who need it so much. And I offer myself to you that I could serve you in this way. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Keep that person in mind, keep that person in your heart, and keep God's desires for that person in your heart. You're not struggling against the will of God, you're moving with the will of God when you do that. We're going to close right now with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? And if you are standing by yourself, would you move just a little bit so that you're with somebody and not alone? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace, so that you can bring the good news of his peace to others, and you can be blessed by the Prince of Peace. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, l'shana tovah.